Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. If anyone has a need to pray, the altar is open. If you have anything that you want to pray over or with someone, someone will be here to pray with you. Just come up and we will pray with you. It says, where two or more are gathered, the Lord is in the midst. Let's just continue to lift our voices to the Lord. Is worthy of all honor and all praises. Amen. Amen.
Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Spirit, break out. Break the walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Above, all of heaven knows your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching us. The sound.
Above every name, the high name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've saved us, you've delivered us. Lord, I pray tonight you would fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us through your word tonight, God. Touch lives in this place, God, that need a touch one more time. Lord, show yourself strong and mighty in a situation. Show yourself as a healer tonight. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you tonight. God bless you as you're seated. Thank you for coming out to the Wednesday night Bible study. It's going to be good tonight. You remember last week we started talking about the process to the promise. And I ask you a question. Who believes that God has a promise for you in 2019? If you don't believe it, now's a good time to leave. Because if you don't believe it, you'll never see it. And I would venture to say that if there's one thing the enemy's tried to do in your life is to make you disbelieve that God's going to come through for you. I know how the enemy works, but I'm telling you, he's a liar tonight. And we're going to look through some things tonight in the Word to help us with the promise, that you receive the promise for your life. And I'll say this, everybody's promise is probably different. But it's the same God, and he's capable of doing it. And so hold fast. A few things going on around here, let me tell you real fast. I'm really excited about what God's put in my heart tonight, so I'm going to get through the announcements real fast. How about that? Don't forget, we have two Sunday school classes. I'm really excited that are starting up. We're having a marriage Sunday school class. That class is going to be right across from the offices in that room at 9 a.m. And in the classroom behind the cafe is a foundations class. That's going to be at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So if you're wanting to sign up, come to the classes, sign up at the information desk. We'd love to have you there to come out for that. Another thing, we have a need around here. Pastor Luna and I were talking a little bit today about we have some areas just of people that have time to come help clean the church, man. We've been working and trying to get people plugged in to do that, and I know everybody has a busy schedule, but it's just an area at Life Point Church that's in need right now, and maybe you have time to do that. Call the office. We'll get a schedule to get you here. It's not that hard of work, but it's just one of those things we're trying to get on top of, especially as we enter this new year. So if you're interested, call the church, see me, see Pastor Luna. We'll definitely get you put in the right spot. Amen. So thank you for that. And finally, I want to just remind everybody that this Saturday at noon is a memorial service celebration of life for Tracy Brunson. For those of you who knew her, she had attended here a while back. Her family's been in the church. I think she's been gone for a little while. I know she was here at the Halloween night, the Harvest Festival we had, but she was called home Christmas night, I believe. And just in a very young, but God called her, and her family knows that God called her home. Her family knows that she's in heaven. You can say amen right there. Because when you can sit around a table and you know without a shadow of a doubt where your loved one's at, you can rest with peace in that. And all of her kids and husband sat there and talked about her life, and you know she's in heaven. But that'll be here. So really what we would ask is if you can be a greeter or a usher that day, we're trying to facilitate to serve that family. If you can come out to help us serve at about the body will be here around 10:30. So that's when we're asking for any volunteers that can help us maybe around 10:30. We'll get you a little job to serve the family, and we would appreciate that. Amen? Be praying for that family too, the Brunson family, and this week as well. How about it? Let's take up the offering, if you would. Ushers, come, please. We'll pray over this offering. Lord, thank you so much for just being faithful, God, in our life. We do honor you tonight, and we count this time as a joy to continue to worship as we give. Receive this offering as pleasing in your eyes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you as you give. God bless you. I'm looking forward. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of pastors don't say this stuff, but I'm looking forward to the business meeting. I'm looking forward to showing you what has taken place around here and how faithful people have been. And just it's a great thing to be headed in the right direction. Amen. That's a testimony to the people of the church, and I'm excited about what God's doing. But tonight I'm excited about this word. I'm excited that on Wednesday night we can slow down for a moment and really take the word and get in, because I'm telling you, some people in this room tonight, probably all of us, we're on the verge of the breakthrough. We're on the verge of the promise. And I'm telling you, the Word of God is going to be the one consistent truth to help us get to that place. There will come a time in this journey where all you have left to stand on is the Word of God. Your neighbor's mouth is going to fail you. Your loved ones will fail you. Your family, your friend, all that. And people mean well, but at some point, you will be left with the Word of God. And I say it like this, you're probably at the place where you're on the, you can see the promise. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can feel it. And I'm telling you, in 2019, I want that to be your life. I want your testimony to be, you stand up and say, God did it. We had the breakthrough. God answered our prayers. God healed us. God delivered us. God provided, whatever that is. I'm believing with you tonight. Genesis 18, verse 14 is the verse I want to start with tonight. It says, I mean, this is the old classic right here. Is anything too hard for God? Is your situation too hard for the Lord? No. Do you trust him tonight? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This was a verse about a promise. And we're going to get back into this chapter later, but this was a woman who really quit believing. Sarah was at a place in her life where she had been spoken to about having a child, and you know, they made a huge mistake. Her and her husband did. Her and Abram made a huge mistake when they took matters into their own hands. Uh-oh. Has anybody ever done that before? Taking matters into your own, did it your way. Well, that's everybody in this room with a knot on their head, right? You know you have. And Abram and Sarah, they were the same way. And they made a huge mistake in their life when they just got tired. Boy, that process of time with God sometimes is a deal, isn't it? I mean, if you're like me, I know when I want God to show up. I want him to show up right now when I'm ready for it, amen? Exactly like I want it, but you know God doesn't always work like that, right? We're going to back up a little bit tonight into Genesis chapter 16. And if you remember, if you were here last week, this is where we ended the story of Abram. And I told you that God had Abram and he gave him a promise in Genesis 12. I'll read it to you. He gave him a promise that, you know, it said, get out of your country. This is Genesis 12, verse 1. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. Man, that sounds good, right? He said, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to be blessed, but it's something else when you're so blessed that you can be a blessing for people. Let me ask you this. You ever been in a situation before where you wanted to help somebody, but you just couldn't? You just didn't even have the means to help them, but you really wanted to. I'm going to tell you, God wants you to be so blessed that you can be a blessing to people. This was the promise to him, and he said, I will bless those that bless you. Amen. And I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Man, that's everybody. Everybody's blessed now, right? And this is the same blessing now that God gave this man years and years ago, but I'm going to tell you what, it's still alive and well for you today. And I want you to understand, LifePoint Church, in 2019, you need to receive the blessing of God. You need to walk in the blessing of God. You need to rest peacefully in the blessing of God in your life this year. And it is a process. It is a process. That's what we're talking about. The process of the promise. Let's get back over to Genesis 16. And this is where I'm going to start. And this is what happened. Abram and Sarai, you know, they had their names changed. We're going to talk about that tonight. But originally they were called Abram and Sarai. And God had a plan for them. And if you'll remember, God said, I'm going to give you a son, right? And then Abram started complaining to God. He said, where is this son that you keep talking about? Where is it at? Not only did he start complaining, but Sarai, his wife, started complaining too, right? And then what did she do? She said, hold on, I got a good idea. Let's make it happen ourselves. And so she decided that she's going to take her maidservant, Hagar, right, and let her husband sleep with this woman. Then we'll have a child. Oh, man. Big mistake. Can you say big mistake? Can you say I've made a big mistake before? I hope you haven't made one this bad, but whatever. If you have, God will help you through it. But I mean, this was a huge mistake, and it cost them. And let me tell you something. You're going to see this tonight, but I guarantee you, you'll understand that the curse that came on this nation is still alive and well today. What was birthed out of that bad decision, we'll see throughout all generations to come. But over in chapter 16, verse 4, that's where I'll start. It says, so he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Now, you got to stop and think about this for a moment. Now, Sarah had a great idea in her mind. She said, let's go ahead and speed up God's process a little bit. You know, God promised us something, but it's not happening as fast as we want it. So let me speed this up a little bit. So she gets pregnant, and guess who gets mad? Sarah can't stand to look at the woman. Could you imagine what that would be like? I mean, you can't even imagine what your house would be like if this really happened. If another woman came into your house and you were going to have a baby with her, well, how would your wife look at her? I mean, that's how you got to think through this. This is exactly what happened. And so now we got this whole situation started. Because somebody, Sarah and Abram, they just got tired of waiting. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been tired of waiting on God? Have you ever come to the end of the road? I'm telling you, I have. Where you're like, man, I thought this thing was going to happen by now. And I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I thought the thing was coming. I could see it. I thought the promise was about to land. And all of a sudden, whoo. It wasn't. But let me tell you something. And it's those times that we have to learn to trust God more. It's those times we have to learn. We have to stand on His word. No matter what. I stand on the word of God. The truth and the promises of the word of God is where I stand. And if there's one thing the enemy tries to get us to do, what? It's to get away from the word, right? Stop thinking it through in our own head. Making plans on our own. Let me tell you, stay in the word. Verse number 10. This woman gets pregnant. Hagar gets pregnant and she flees. She flees from Sarah because she's worried the woman's probably going to cut her throat or something. And it says, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your... Listen to what happens, man. Do not share your blessing with somebody. Listen, I'm going to say it one more time. Don't share your blessing with somebody else. That's exactly what happened to this family. Because God's word is true. And when he told Abraham, he said, your seed's going to be blessed. He wasn't talking about this guy, Ishmael, his first child. He meant the blessing was going to come through Isaac, the second child. But when the first child was born, God was still true to his word. And so they honestly had to share their blessing. Don't share your blessing with the enemy. Wait on God. Amen. How many of you are waiting on God on something right now in your life? I want to see your hand. Keep waiting. Don't birth this Ishmael in your life. Let me tell you, Ishmael does not die. He does not go away. You will carry that with you your entire life. Here we go. The angel said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly. Now this is Hagar, the pregnant maidservant. This is what he would have been saying to Sarah. So that you shall not be counted for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Now, there is some good truth to hold on to here. Because the Lord has heard your affliction. Does that sound good? In other words, God knew that this woman had got herself. Let me tell you the reason why this happened. Because actually, Hagar was a good servant. And when Sarah came to her, she said, I'll serve. Whatever you tell me to do is what I'm going to do. And Sarah's the one that set her up to do this stuff. So in her mind, she was doing right. She was like a slave. She did right by what her master had told her. You understand what I'm saying? And God knew that. God knew her heart was right. That's why he says to her, the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. There's a promise for you. Your child's going to be wild. Anybody ever had one of these before? And listen to what it says. His hand shall be against every man. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. In other words, he's going to be everywhere fighting against everybody. Does this sound like anything we still see today? But I love this next part in verse 13. Listen to what it says. Then she called, now this is Hagar. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" That's where you get the name Elroy. If you've ever heard the names of God, Elroy, he sees me. And let me tell you something tonight, church. God sees you. God sees you. Elroy sees you. If you need something to cry out at night, you cry out the name Elroy if you have to. He sees you. The enemy would want you to think that he doesn't even see you anymore. The Bible says that in his palm is engraved your name. He sees you. How many of you ever felt like he don't even understand what I'm going through? Or something passed or it missed. It didn't go like you thought. And you say, "Where were you, God?" That's everybody in this room. Let me tell you something. He sees you. The thing is, he knows exactly what he's doing in your life. And if you'll stand fast to the promises of God, stand on his word, I'm telling you, in 2019 can be the year that God blesses your life. That God blesses your life. Who's receiving that tonight? God is blessed. I love what she said, though. She said this, verse 13, she called the name of the Lord. She called the name of the Lord. You are the God who sees me. Now, this was a woman that was running. She ran into this place. She was running because she was afraid of her maid servant. I mean, the lady she was serving. She was afraid. Why? Because she was looking at her crazy. Because she's like, now you got my child inside of you. I mean, this is something that a magazine would write a story about. You know what I mean? But God saw her, and listen to what he said to her. In verse number 11, he said, because the Lord has heard your affliction. You know, God is close to the brokenhearted. God's close to the brokenhearted and those who are contrite in spirit. And he was with this woman. Now, he did promise her some things, but he did say this child's going to be wild. He's going to be crazy. And he's going to be fighting people for a long time. And I guarantee you there are Ishmaels all across this world today birthed out of this nation of people that were still fighting today. And he said, even said, they'll always dwell in the presence of all their brethren. So now God has this situation in front of him where these two people, Abram and Sarah, have decided to take matters into their own hands. Now, very easily, God could have said, look, since you handled it, go ahead. Go ahead and do your thing. I'll let you do your thing. But you know, that's not the way God is. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And when he made a promise to Abraham, he was going to come through on it. Now, he did offer Ishmael a blessing as well. He did offer that first seed, that child, a blessing. But then he gets to the next part here in chapter 17. Where now Abram, and Sarai are being confronted by God. They're being confronted. And I'm going to tell you, God is getting them ready in chapter 17 to receive the blessing. Now let me ask you this. Maybe, just maybe tonight, God's getting you ready. Okay? It's not the end. You didn't miss it. Maybe God's still getting you ready. And the interesting thing is, if you'll read through these chapters real slow, you'll see how God dealt with them and how in verse number 5 of chapter 17, let's bring it up. This is the one thing he says to Abram. This is where everything changed. And the minute God did this, everything changed. He said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Listen to what he says. For I have made you father of nations. In that moment right there when God said that to him, something happened, like prophetic happened, where God said, it's fixing to happen. Change your name. They're not even going to call you what they used to call you. Listen, this is for somebody in this room tonight. Whatever you've been called or whatever the name is somebody put on you, it might change this year. Why? Because God's fixing to do something new in your life. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever you've called yourself might change. Some of us have had bad names for ourselves, amen? We've had names we shouldn't be saying. You've had a circumstance or a situation that you've attached yourself to or your name to. Let me tell you, that's not going to be the same for you this year. That's my prayer. Is that when people see you, they'd say, there comes that woman of God. She's blessed. Here comes that man of God, completely healed. Used to be sick, but in 2019, they were healed of their infirmities. Used to be a mad, crazy, drunk man, but now we like him. And he's a blessed man. That was Ishmael, right? Wild man. Whatever that thing was that you used to call yourself, I believe God wants to change your name this year. God wants to change the name of that affliction. And listen, skip on over to verse 15. He does the same thing to Sarah. And God said to Abraham, for Sarah, your wife, shall not call her Sarai, but call her Sarah. God changed her name. Her name Sarai meant this, the princess. That's what Sarai meant. Sarah means my princess. You catch that? Sarai meant the princess. Sarah meant my princess. Who is my? Who is he talking about? He's talking about God himself. She belongs to me. She belongs to me. And everything I have that I had told her, I'm fixing to give to her. Now, this is chapter 17 when they've journeyed and they've been through a lot of things and they thought they were never going to have a child. And all of a sudden, God stepped in and said, I'm fixing to call you something different. You're my princess. How many of you have daughters? Right? They're your all the time? Most of the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, you don't let nobody. It's one thing if it's somebody else's daughter, but your daughter is your. Do you understand what God was doing when he changed her name? He said, you're mine. Listen to me. You belong to God tonight. You belong to God. And he has not forgotten you. And he is not punishing you. He is not playing some cruel trick on you to get your attention. Listen to me. He does things in his own timing. You have to stand firm on the word of God. You have to stand on the promises of God. If there's one thing I tell you time and time again, if there's one thing the enemy wants you to do, it's not to steal. It's all that stuff. He wants you not to believe. That's his number one job, to make you not believe that God said what he said. It's the same thing he did with Eve way back in the garden. Surely you won't die if you eat this. Surely that's not true. Let me tell you something. God is not a liar. God has not forgotten you. And I'm believing with you that 2019 is the greatest year you've ever had in your life. I'm believing, God, that 2019 is the greatest year this church has ever seen. Are you with me? Why can't it be? It should be. It is. Amen? Okay. Now, Abraham is 99 years old. Woo! Man. I remember when we had our third child. I'm glad my wife's not here tonight because I can say this. And I don't remember exactly how old she was, but I'm saying late 20s. It was probably mid-30s. All I know is when we went to the doctor, he said, Miss Morrow, you're high risk. And I thought he meant like something was wrong with her, you know, like something was wrong. I'm like, what do you mean she's high risk? He's like, it's her age. I was like, whoa. I'm like, she's only 30-something years old. Yeah, who would have known? High risk. You know, they have such a thing. You know, if you're pregnant over a certain age, it's called high risk. Abraham was 99. The Bible says in the New Testament that Abraham was as good as dead. Now, I don't know how blessed you want to be this year, but you might have another child for all I know. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. And nobody in this room is exempt because you're under the age of 99. That would be messed up, right? So you got to understand what God was saying to these people. He said, I want you to change the way you speak about each other. I want you to change even what you call yourself. That was the sign of the promise. You can read it for yourself. The sign of the promise was God changed their names. And I believe this tonight, that if you and I want to show the world a sign or show yourself a sign that the promise is on its way, be careful what you call yourself. Like, it might sound like this. I'm going to rise up and call myself blessed even though my situation doesn't say I'm blessed. You with me? Like, all of my income doesn't equal my outflow. Has anybody ever been there before? Amen over here on this side. I got you. Here's what I want you to do. Call yourself blessed when you pay the bills. Even if it don't add up, I'm blessed. Even if the doctor's report says I'm sick, I'm going to call myself healed. Now, you can do it out loud out of your mouth and make a scene at the doctor's office, or you can do it internally. That's totally up to you. Usually when we start saying things out loud out of our mouth, people start saying, lock them up. Put them on some medication. Man, this person's crazy. But I'm going to tell you, if you got to say it out of your mouth, you say it with a smile on your face because you know what's coming in 2019. And I believe what I'm about to tell you. I believe God wants his children to say it out loud. I really do. I believe God wants us to say it out loud, that I am blessed, for the whole world to see. And they'll say, well, why are you going to say something like that when you're broke down on the side of the road and two flat tires? I hope nobody has a flat tire or gets pregnant tonight, but whatever, if you do, you can just say, you know, it was coming. You're blessed. You're blessed. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord. You know, the funny thing is, the reason you're laughing right now is because Sarah started laughing when the angel of the Lord showed up at her tent. You know that, right? It's the same thing that happened. But see, that in a way is what the enemy wants us to do. Is God will take us to a place that man cannot understand. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? And God will take us to a place to prove to us that his word is true. You hear what I'm saying? God will make you completely broke. And then when he gives you something, you'll know he's the provider. God will make you sick on your deathbed. That way when he touches you, you're going to know he's the healer. You hear what I'm saying? There is going to be no mistake in the believer's life. There's going to be nothing else we could chalk it up to other than God did it. God had to have done it. There's people sitting in this room tonight because you're living for God, myself included. People could look at you and say, that had to have been God. There is no way that crazy guy or that crazy woman right there would ever be right. It had to be God. And that's why some of us are in the journey that we're on, is because when it's all said and done, you're going to have one thing, one person to glorify, one name to shout at the top of your lungs when it happens, and that is, God did it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God chose the base things, those that were not, to nullify the things that were. So when it was all said and done, when you boast in the Lord. See, I believe somebody's going to start boasting in 2019. This process of the promise is where you're at. You're not denied. You're in a process. Okay? You need to call yourself something that you're not calling yourself right now. I'm blessed. Who's blessed? Amen. Who's healed? I'm healed. Who's living with joy? Okay. Now, I'm going to say this. You got to say it whether you are or not. Amen. Who's pregnant? Ah, somebody raised their hand. I saw them. Oh, Lord, help them. So now in chapter 17, God has changed their name. You're changing your name. You're going to change what you call that situation. You're going to change what you call yourself. Let me say this to you. Change what you call other people too. Change what you call other people. How many of you know some people that are messed up? Right? How many of you live with people that are messed up? Okay, I'm not even going there. That's too far. It's too far. Listen, but here's what I want to tell you. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. What does he say? How can fresh water flow out of the salt water? You can't have it both ways. You can't be blessed and speak a curse on somebody else. You just can't. So whoever that's for tonight, you listen to me. You call them blessed too. What did he say? Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who come against you. Why? The reason he says that stuff is because he knows what's coming in your life. And you and I can ill afford to lose the promise because the way we treat somebody else. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let it go. Amen? So they've been given the sign. Sarai is now called Sarah. Abram is now called Abraham. In chapter 18, we're going to skip down to verse number 10. Excuse me, I'll start in verse number 9. Then they said to him, now this is them dwelling with new names in the tent right there. All of a sudden, these three people show up. Let's pick up the story. Then they said, where is Sarah, your wife? And so he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed. It's real important that you understand this. In man's eyes, she had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for God? Oh, man, somebody needs to take that deep down into your spirit tonight. You have not gone too far. You're not too far gone. You're not too old. You're not too broke. You're not too sick. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You better believe not. You better believe not. And going into this day and age in which we're living in, church, we have to stand on his word. Nothing is too hard for my God. Nothing is too hard for God. And if you believe that and you stand on that and you know God has promised you, I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Now, I don't know who needs to hear that tonight. Probably everybody. The promise is coming. It is a process. Amen. How many of you have been in the process for a little while? Grown tired at times. I mean, at times you've said, you know what, I'll just throw in the towel and do it myself, Ishmael. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Skip over with me to Genesis 21. Starting in verse number 2. The angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, you're going to have this child. In verse number 2, it says, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. At the what? Let me say this real quick. At the what time? You understand God has set the time for you? If you don't understand that, you're going to have a nervous breakdown trying to figure all this out. God has set the time for you and your promise. God has set it. You ain't going to get it any faster. You can't make it come faster. You can come to church every Sunday and jump up and down till you break your ankles, screaming and hollering, and it ain't going to make it come any faster. You can slow it down. I'll guarantee you that. You can lose it all together. But not here, not tonight, not anybody in this room. Why? Because you're going to stand on the Word of God. And you're going to stand on His promise. And understand that in His set time, this thing will happen. Now, I'm going to back up and say something I should have said at the beginning of this service, and I said it last week. If you're not believing God for something, you need to. I'm going to say this. If you're not believing God for something, you need to come see me. Because we need to get down to it to find out what God is speaking about you in your life that you can hold on to. Amen? At the set time of which God has spoken, verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born, whom Sarah bore him. Remember? It wasn't his first son. No, it wasn't his first one. But it was the right one. The promised one. She called his name what? Isaac. Finally. 99 years. Woo! The Bible said she was past the age of childbearing. I don't know what that age is. I mean, I guess it's 35. That's what the doctor said where we were. We were high risk. I said, probably are high risk. But here it is, the promise. Now, see, I would have thought in my life, and thinking through this story, I would have thought that at that moment, life would have been like in the movies where they just sailed off into the Caribbean and lived happily ever after. Finally, the promise is finally here. The thing we've waited on, the thing we had faith on, the thing we made a mistake about, we finally got it. That's the end of the story. Chapter 22. I want you to listen to this. Chapter 22, verse 1 says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Like, I mean, was the test of Ishmael not enough? Was the test of waiting 99 years not enough? You ever been in a situation with God where you said this? How much more are you going to put me through? How much more are you going to put me through, Lord? I would have thought by now, you know, I had faith. I did everything you said. I did it just like you asked, you know, made a few mistakes, and now you're going to test me? Now you're going to test me? But I'm going to tell you something. There was something more to the promise than what Abraham thought. See, I thought the test was, could you believe God for it? But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Listen to what he said. He said, Abraham, and he said, what? Here I am. Let me tell you, when God takes you on a journey of faith, you'll learn to listen for his voice. And when God calls your name, you'll have one response. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Then he said, now take your son, your only son. Listen to what he said. Was it his only son? Well, what did God tell him? Take your, in God's eyes, that was his son. Take your only son, whom you what? Love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I will tell you. Whoa. That thing you prayed about, that thing you waited your whole life for, that thing that you thought you had to have, that thing you couldn't live without, when God gave it to that man, he said, now I want you to go sacrifice it. I want you to go to that mountain, that place I show you, and I want you to sacrifice it there. Do you love me more than you love it? I want you to sacrifice that. Now, remember what the promise was. The promise was you're going to be blessed. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to bless others. I'm going to curse people that come again. All that stuff God said to him, and now he's saying, the one thing that you cried about not having, I gave it to you, now you give it back. Now you give it back to me, man. You want to talk about a test? God told him to give it back.
I mean, this story is insane to me. Could you imagine? It's the same thing that happened to Hannah. It's the same exact thing that happened to her. She prayed about a child. She prayed and prayed and prayed. God gave her a child. God promised her something. And what did God say? Give him back. When he was 2 years old, what did she do? She took him to the temple and left him and gave him back to the Lord. See, God remembers his promises to us. My question is this. Do we remember our promises to him? God, if you do this, I'll do. God, if you give me this, I'll do this, 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 I'll do. Do you remember your promises to God? So he tells Abraham, take that child. Take that child. But all those little trials along the way, all those faith journeys along the way, all those temptations along the way. Listen to what Abraham said in verse number 8. Abraham said, son, the boy wasn't stupid. Because he asked his dad, he said, Dad, where's the sacrifice for the burnt offering? And listen to what his response was in chapter 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide. Do you see how do you understand that this man went from making the decision himself to sleeping with that woman, to having a child, that finally God had changed his mind and said, no matter what God puts in front of us, I know he's going to provide. I know what God is asking me to do, but I know God's going to provide because I know my God, and I know he's going to do it. Do you see how he changed? Even though he was older now, but he made a stand, even to his own son, he said, listen, don't worry about it. And let me tell you, church, in 2019, you and I have to have that same attitude when it comes to our lives and when we deal with people. Listen to me. God's going to show up for you. I believe it 100%. God's going to show up. It's going to take time in his set time, right? His set time, he's going to show up. Stand on his word. Don't grow weary in well-doing. He's going to show up. God's going to provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And they went together. In verse number 9, they came to the place which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound up Isaac, his son. Oh, my goodness. And laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I want you to catch this next part. You better listen for God's voice when you're going through this stuff. You better know how to hear from the voice of the Lord. Because here's the thing, Abraham, if he would have been listening and acting on what he heard earlier, he would have never stopped the knife. You hear what I'm saying? You and I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit right now on this journey. Listen, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Who's with me tonight? You have to be sensitive. He draws back the knife. And what did he say? Called to him from heaven and said, what? Abraham. Abraham. What did he say? When God spoke to him earlier in the chapter, what did he say? Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. He said, don't lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God. Since you have not withheld your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes, and there was caught the ram. You know the story. And you know what happens next. I've talked about this before. What happened? And listen to me. Let me say it to you. Verse 14. I love how this verse reads here. It says, Abraham called that place. Abraham called that place. Let me say it like this. What are you calling your place tonight? What are you calling your life tonight? What are you calling your place? What are you calling it? He said he called that name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Moriah. Mount Moriah. Hebrew word means the place of the test. The place of the test. Let me ask you this question. How many are you in the place of the test tonight? How many of you are in a place of testing in your life tonight? It's okay. Verse number 15, let's get to the end of this real fast. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn. You know why he swore by himself, right? Because there was no other name that he could swear by that would mean anything. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Here he goes. You ready? Blessings, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and of the sand, which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all nations shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Let me help you do yourself a favor this whole month or this whole year. Read that verse to yourself every day. Because in 2019, you're going to be blessed. The funny thing about people, and I've learned this, some people have been down so long they wouldn't receive it if you gave it to them. You ever met somebody like that? Like, cannot even receive good news, no matter what. Listen to me. You're going to be blessed in 2019. Because you have obeyed my voice. Listen to verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went to the land of Beersheba and dwelt in Beersheba. And that was it. That's all you read about Abraham's life. There was nothing else. After that test, when God stepped up, he went on to Beersheba. The place of blessing. That's what Beersheba means. He went from the place of test to the place of the blessing. How many of you are ready to enter the place of the blessing? Amen. Let me ask you another question. How many of you are living in the land of blessing tonight? I will say there's got to be people in here living in it. I know I am. I know I am. Amen. Now, I'm talking to you not because of my circumstances around me necessarily. I'm telling you because I am a blessed man. And you're blessed people. Why? Because we know who our God is. We know that we serve a God that said there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard. Now, everything's not perfect in my life. That doesn't make me blessed. What makes me blessed is I know what this says. What makes me blessed is I know what the truth about my life is. What makes us a blessed church in 2019 is we know the truth of God's word. We know the truth of his word. We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We know that even the gates of hell are not going to prevail against God's church. Oh man, I'm telling you what, 2019 is going to be a year of blessing. It's going to be a year of healing. It's going to be a year of provision. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. It's going to be a year of soul winning in this church. It's going to be a year that this light on top of this building, hear what I'm saying, is going to be a lighthouse for this community. And people are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm with you. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me? Stand to your feet. I'm believing for you tonight. I love that verse, man. Nothing is too hard. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm excited for you, church. I'm excited for your families. I'm excited for your life. I'm excited to say that I know that you know that God's going to come through for you. We're going to serve him. Amen? We're going to worship him. And listen to me. We're going to bless other people. Amen? When we begin to walk out of these doors and bless people, God knows we're serious about his business. Amen? I'm going to ask you one question real fast before we close. If you are one of the people in here tonight and there's something in your life that you're believing God for, I don't need to know what it is, but I just want to know what you're believing God for. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. There's nothing too hard for our God. You stand on his word. and he's going to show himself mighty and strong in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand on your word tonight. God, we know that there's nothing too hard for you. And I know this has been a journey for some of us. It's been a timely process. And yeah, we've birthed some Ishmaels in our journey, and we haven't done things all right. But God, we know that the promise is still true, that your word is truth, and we stand on it tonight. And for everybody in this room, God, that raised their hands, God, I am believing that in 2019 we're going to call them blessed. And God, I believe there's people in this room in 2019, we're going to call them healed. We're going to call them delivered. We're going to call them set free. And Lord, I believe that there's family members even represented in this room that aren't even in this place tonight, and you're going to begin to work in their life. Lord, we're blessed. We're your children. We're blessed tonight. We honor you, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you tonight. Amen. God bless you tonight. Don't forget, all you blessed people, we got to start cleaning the church. Okay? That is a promise from God. I'm believing it. You have a great night. We'll see you back here Sunday morning.